Melbourne, hear the sound of drumming. Must be the victory coming. Pumped up and full of running. Victory the brave. Blue, white and silver flying. Strike like a flash of lightning. Revved up and full of fighting. Victory the brave.
23-10 here at 11:16 SEN and in his regular spot. Ian Robson, the CEO of Melbourne Victory, is in the studio.
What a pleasure to be here with you face-to-face, Kevin. We've spoken before on the phone,
yeah, we have.
A delight to be in the studio with you. And look, on a beautiful blue sky day, isn't it great to see a blue sky story on the front page of the Herald Sun?
That's a terrific story.
It's one of those stories that cuts through sport.
And, absolutely.
And as some of the listeners will know, I... had the good fortune of working at the Hawthorn Footy Club for a little while, so I know Jared and his wife and the family very, very well. It's been a really challenging time.
He's a really good bloke, isn't he?
He is just one of the great...
I don't know him, but I've seen him out and about.
Yeah, just a ripping guy. It's always, when you see around sport, you get a sense of the respect and camaraderie from opponents.
Yeah.
It's always, each dressing room will always talk up even their own bad boys because they'll be protective. But the camaraderie for Jared across, not just, frankly, the AFL, across all sport. And again, even his comments yesterday, as much as they were about acknowledging what good news this is, obviously for him and his family, but turning it into a public message, which sadly, you know, we do need to be reminded and of the importance of some of these really critical health issues. And when we have elite athletes at the forefront of that, it's a really compelling story. At Victory, we do a lot of work with the Cancer Council. Todd Harper, the chief executive, is a good friend, and you know, some of the stats that typically we wouldn't talk about on sports radio, but suddenly become relevant when we talk about athletes suffering these. The recovery rates from early detection now on all of these types of cancers are continuing to trend in the right manner, as in they're getting better.
Something that your sports had to adapt to, because you're now a summer sport, where traditionally you're a winter sport for ever and a day, really.
Well, it's interesting you say, because we got a couple of new coaches on deck this year, and there was a particularly hot day Tuesday, Wednesday last week, I was out on the deck, and I know some of our guys had just like the baseball cap kind of thing on, and I looked across on the Storm pitch, and Craig Bellamy is there with his bucket cap on.
Yep.
And I walked in and I said to our guys, I said, can we just get our coaches in those bucket caps as well? And that's where, again, as an administrator, you walk out and, you know, the punter sees, you know, a bunch of boys and girls, you know, living the dream, being professional athletes, training at 10 o'clock in the morning on blue skies, green grass. As administrators, we've got to see an industrial workplace. And we're responsible to provide a workplace that's safe for our athletes and coaching staff in every possible respect, and protection from the sun in an Australian context is one of those important things. So whether it's hydration issues in terms of water breaks, our girls played on Sunday down at South Melbourne on another hot day and had water breaks after 23 minutes. Or whether it's just the skin protection. So these little things. So Ruffy is just, as I say, it's great to see a blue sky story on a blue sky day.
Yeah, because, no, it's a terrific story.
So often the front pages aren't as telling us the good things in life. That's a great story. And
whether he plays footy again or not is irrelevant.
Off the charts.
Totally irrelevant.
Every game becomes a bonus.
Yep.
You know, it harks back to some of the, you know, not the Lee Colbert stories, Jason McCartney stories, you know, post Bali.
Oh, yeah.
You know, getting back and playing a game of footy and then walking away.
Yep.
You know, all of these things, as Ruffy said yesterday, sport now, football, matters nothing in the real thing. I mean, of course, when he's inside the dressing room and it's the competitive nature, his competitive juices will flow. But sometimes you need to stare that issue of mortality and that vulnerability we all have as humans, and the human condition, if you like. That's where, and even last week I was talking to Kevin, the other Kevin, KB. You're much better looking, by the way. Much more hair.
It's not hard.
You know, what we saw with Chapanisi and Brazil, that, again, in so many respects, it reminded us of just how little sport matters in the context of life, but it also reminds us just how much sport matters in the context of life.
And gee, the supporters handle that well around the league. I watch an awful lot of A-League, and at the 76-minute mark of each game, there was that lovely moment where the crowd all rises one and applaud, and that respect and that universal kind of tangible, I don't know what the word is, the link that we have with each other.
A spontaneousness that reflects that ultimately you know, the code of football is genuinely the world game.
Yeah.
And when something like that happens,
yep.
You know, it was only a couple of years ago, of course, when cricket sadly lost Phil Hughes.
Yep.
Victory happened as the fate fell. Played the first sort of professional sporting contest of any sport post that tragedy, right, yeah, that week. And, you know, we laid a cricket bat on the football at the start of the game. And again, as fate would have it that night, in what, if you were religious, some would say was an act of God, at the 63rd minute, there was a foul, there was a break in play, as the crowd stood up and that's spontaneously
right.
applauded, because
yeah,
that was his score.
It.
So,
yeah.
And they're the sort of things, Kevin, at sport that literally can send a shiver down the spine.
Yeah.
And whilst obviously it's always important, as we know with our friends at Fox and SBS and all of the broadcast partners that we have at the game, that's where sometimes those moments, as nice as they might feel in the lounge room, when you're actually at the game and you're genuinely a part of that, it is to say, it can be quite spine tingling.
Mm.
And that's where it becomes very, very special. And I think that the more we see across sport a recognition and fundamentally a respect that the media and not your good self, but sometimes like to try and put us in a corner. We're all competing against each other. But there are things like this, whether we're talking about participation and getting more boys and girls playing sport, doesn't matter what sport they're playing.
Yeah, exactly.
We're better off as a community, as a society, if we have more kids playing.
Yep.
If we've got people like Jared Rufford sending a message out about skin cancer, about early detection, about not feeling as though it's somehow not blokey to go and ask these questions, it's all nonsense.
Yep.
You know, work together and be better and happier and healthier together, particularly at this time of year too, when there's such a focus on families at the risk of putting in a quick advertorial, we're great partners with the TAC the essence of their advertising campaign this Christmas to remind us in what's not been a great year for us on the roads, Kevin, is the best present of all at this Christmas is to be present.
Yeah, no, it's very true.
With your family and that's the message right across from sport. So it's a big another big week for us. We're picking about being present. We've got to be present and accounted for on Saturday night up at the Wanderers. They turned their season around with a big 4-1 result against the Mariners.
Yep.
We could have scored four. We could have scored 14, frankly, last Saturday night.
Ian, I wanted to talk.
We
to
only
you.
Scored one.
I wanted to talk to you. That thing that sits up the end of each both ends of the ground.
That'll be the net.
Yeah. Right now,
couple
you,
of sticks.
Can
and
you
net
go, yeah, and exactly. Can you explain to the gentleman involved in the front third of your organisation that the ball is supposed to go in the back of that.
Not to the side? And the side netting doesn't count?
No, it doesn't count. Doesn't
it's
count.
It's not like in Aussie rules where you get a point if you miss?
No, no. You don't. No, you don't. And you don't get it when you're 14 feet offside either
and put
it in the back of that. Those ones
or
don't
Or even
count.
14 inches offside sometimes.
And I'm a victory man, yeah. I openly admit that. Frustrating to watch them this year. All up this year, the ability to put the ball in the back of the net, even the 6-1 game.
Yeah.
Even the 6-1 game should have been 10-1.
Yeah, it was. Well, I sat with. We had the pleasure of hosting a number of VIP guests on Saturday night, and I sat next to one of them for the duration of the game, the former Premier Ted Bailey. And I think he stopped count at 25 opportunities. I'm trying to think of the word that Sven Goran Eriksson used to use when he talked about goal scoring moments. It was sort of quite exotic with his Swedish accent. But we had, I think, to quote Kenny Lowe, who. It provides
could
great
have won three games.
Yeah,
I think
we had enough opportunities to win three games,
yep.
And he was generous enough to concede that. But having said that, one moment of vulnerability from a defensive position. Andy Keogh's a quality striker. You gave him one chance. It was a ripping shot back at the net.
Was it ever?
And that was the only time, effectively, Lawrence really, in a competitive sense, touched the ball all night. I mean,
yep.
Of course, in back play and ferrying the ball around, but we just monstered them with every single stat you could possibly... I think it was literally... The official sheet was 20 shots on goal to 2. So, but that said, you can have some frustrating nights like that. We've got to move on now. We've got the game in hand against Wellington, which I think has just been confirmed literally in the last few minutes, Kevin, is going to be played on the 17th of January, midweek, in the new year. So
in Wellington at their stadium?
It's an away game, so we have been working closely with Greg O'Rourke and his team at the FFA and David Dome and his colleagues. They've obviously had a big week at Wellington with our old mate Ernie pulling the pin over the last couple of days. And We send our best wishes to Ernie and acknowledge his fine career at our club, but his fine career as an A-League coach, and wish him and his family well for whatever comes next. But they've had some issues. They've got it resolved, and we will. It will be a tough week for us, Kevin. It's almost like a mini ACL schedule because we'll play Brisbane here at Amy on the Friday night, travel to Wellington to play there on the Tuesday, and then back in Perth on the Saturday to come back for Sydney on the Thursday on Australia Day before a little break before the next will be the third
That'll
derby.
Test the depth of the squad.
It sure will. It'll test everyone's patience. Yeah. A few frequent flyer points in there as well, but we're not really keen on those. The only points we really want are the ones on the league table.
Ian Robson, the CEO of Melbourne Victory, is in the studio. We had the PFA Awards last night, and I guess a fitting tribute to one of the greats of Australian soccer, Harry Kewell, got the Alex Tobin medal.
He certainly did, and Aaron Moy got the PFA Player of the Year, and Lydia Williams, the Women's Footballer of the Year, so some great recognition for some outstanding seasons. But for Harry winning the Alex Tobin medal, and as we were just saying off air, I had the joy of living in Leeds a few years back when... Leeds were at the peak of their powers and were a powerhouse.
Seems a long
of
time
the Premier
ago.
League and made it all the way through to a Champions League semi-final against Galatasaray, which was a tragic time because some Leeds fans sadly died at the first leg away. But Harry was at the peak of his powers then. Mark Viduka was of course playing at Leeds then. So people forget just how great and good a player Harry was at the peak of his powers. I think, you know, at the time he was probably up there with Ryan Giggs as maybe the best left-sided player in the Premier League.
Yep.
And whilst the move to Liverpool didn't perhaps work out to all of what he had hoped it would be, he has played at some of the very biggest clubs, played in some of Australia's very biggest matches. With World Cups and qualifiers and everything else, and rightly deserves this recognition. And now he wants to transition into coaching, which is fantastic to have players of his calibre expressing an ambition to get involved. So that's to be applauded as well.
He's got the academies running here, hasn't he?
Yeah, they're sort of. He's done those on a rolling basis. He's had some commercial partnerships behind those. Obviously, he's been living back in the UK for some time now, Kevin. So I think on trips back, he drops in some clinics whether they're here in Melbourne or up the East Coast. But he's clearly now committed himself to a career. He's got that under 23 role at Watford, and I think that's a good place to be. Sort of just a little bit out of the spotlight of the Premier League. Go about his craft on the pitches at 8 o'clock Monday morning, you know, in the cold of winter, and understanding what it takes to bring a group of young players together. So, look, I wish him every success because we need that young talent coming forward. We need his name associated with the development and growth of the game for football. And as we've seen, sadly, you know, the coaching opportunities tend to come and go. We've had three coaches in the A-League lose their jobs this year, too, before the season even started. Yeah. And now, Ernie, that was after last year. We didn't lose any. So then that happens with cycles. But there'll be opportunities in the future. So hopefully we can see Harry involved at the highest level in coaching.
Aaron Moy, we're seeing playing. He's part of the City group, obviously, but not playing for City. But is certainly making his mark over there. But One of the pities is that we don't get to see him here now as much, only when he comes and plays for the Socceroos. And it must be an ongoing problem. I mean, you lose a 16-year-old to
Seb
Ajax.
Pasquale, yep.
And the cream of the crop to do what they need to do have to go overseas, unfortunately, still?
Yeah, look, it's one thing you can't argue against. It's just a simple matter of reality. And this would be the same conversation if I was, you know, sitting here as Vince Crivelli, Chief Executive of Melbourne United, that the big money for the basketballers and the big money for the footballers is offshore.
Yep.
What we
and
hope...
And the experience and all those
correct,
things that they get
correct.
To, yeah.
And... As we've benefited, we didn't want to say farewell 3 years ago to Marco Rojas, but he went to Germany, and I like to believe and are clear in my belief that the way we handled his departure in many ways sowed the seed for his return.
Yep.
So that we understand, and no one would want to stand in the way, Kevin, of ambition and opportunity. But if the dream doesn't land as quite as big as you would like, always know and understand that there's a place here called home, which we'd be proud to take you back. So whether it be Marco Rojas, James Troisi this year, who knows what happens down the track with Seb, Robbie Cruz has often spoken about that if he comes home, there'd only be one place that he'd want to come to. So we've got to take a pragmatic view. The key point for us then, Kevin, is that we've got to continue to focus down on our investment in the academy, because we've found these players, we'll find more, boys and girls.
Are there more Sebs running around the place?
They're special ones.
Yeah.
But you have to believe those nuggets of gold, whether it's Melinda J. Barbieri or whether it's a Seb Pasquale, both of whom have been a part of the program at Maribyrnong Sports Academy, which is a fantastic institution
it is.
Out in the inner west that we're very proud to be building a partnership with there. There'll be more, Kevin, because it's a numbers game. You know, the explosion of participation will bring more and more young, talented players to the game. Remembering, of course, Seb and his family started playing the game Wangaratta, so, you know, in rural Victoria. So it's not just here in metropolitan Melbourne where these young players have talent. And they come with ambition, Kevin. Who wouldn't want to go? So whether it's, again, the Ricciardo family with Daniel going onto the world stage with Grand Prix, or Jason Day and his family with golf, or, you know, Andrew Bogut from Endeavour Hills and basketball, or the boys and girls on the surfing tour. The notion of thinking, whilst we love to say, without pinching a line from Qantas, we still call Australia home, we never want to see the boundaries of Australia to be a boundary for our talent
and ambition.
Oh, we're
world players. Yeah, no, world players. It's got to be world players.
And that's, if you're brave enough to have the dream, to get on that big bird and go overseas and have a crack, of course we've got to stand behind and support every one of those young players, whether they be male or female, wanting to do that.
Yep. Another big weekend coming up.
A very critical time. This is our one away game for the month of.
Team too, the Wanderers.
The Wanderers have found a little bit of form. They walked away from, you know, the score sheet read 3-0 from that game recently at Etihad, but they walked away smarting from that result. You might remember there was a dead set shout for a pen that they probably should have got, which might have made it 1-1. But we'd had a goal earlier in the first half that Mitch Austin scored, which we thought should have been allowed and wasn't. So we were pleased. So we know that any team coached by Tony Popovich is going to be, you know, give a red hot account of themselves.
Is he staying?
It's probably a better question for their CEO than for me. But certainly what can't be disputed is that clearly his star, and once you know, in securing the Asian Champions League, and I know, you know, it's a great allure for us. We've been in it five times, got through the round of 16 this time, and our ultimate the team that knocked us out, Jean Book, went on to win.
Yep.
And we sent our congratulations to them. His star will be on the rise because of that success. Yeah. That gets recognition, particularly in Asia. Maybe not in Europe to the extent it could, but certainly will in Asia. The interesting thing for us will be playing them at a new venue for them and for us.
Oh yeah, have you checked this stadium out?
We're playing at ANZ. Yeah, which is because they've been playing. They've sort of got a bit of a hybrid circumstance, a bit like the way we have with Etihad and Amy. For the next 3 years, when Pertec's being rebuilt, they're playing some games at Spotless, which is the home of GWS.
Yep.
And the big games like the Derby.
This one's at ANZ.
This is at ANZ.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be a new experience for everybody, literally in terms of the dynamic of how big the crowd will be in what is a big cavernous stadium, let alone the dynamic of the pitch and the pitch quality.
Could have all the atmosphere of you know, man on the moon.
Well, yeah, there'll be 20,000 there, I'm tipping, but they've had some issues with their fans adjusting to that new environment, and it's just the reality of, you know, that they're a victim of their own success, Kevin.
Yeah.
You know, the redevelopment of Parramatta, with all due respect to the Mighty Eels, or these days the not so Mighty Eels, has come about because of the Wanderers and the success that they've brought to that region. And so that'll be a cracker. Then we come back for the Derby at Amy Saturday week, which will be another big game.
17th, yeah.
Yeah, and then a little bit of a break over Christmas, and then we go bang bang on the 28th against the Mariners in Melbourne, Newcastle down in Geelong. But 3 points on Saturday night, that's all we want.
Now, that thing at the end, there's one on each end. It's called a goal.
The goals.
Now, the net thing.
I'll give Bess a message from you.
He's my son's favourite player, and he's not putting it in the back of the net often enough. Yes, all of them. All of the above. Thanks, Ian.
And to Lawrence to keep it out.
Yeah, absolutely.